A very religious man was once caught in rising floodwaters. He climbed onto the roof of the house and trusted God to rescue him. A neighbor came by in a canoe and said, "The waters will soon be above your house. Hop in, and we'll paddle to safety." "No thanks," replied the religious man. "I've prayed to God, and I'm sure God will save me." Short time later, a police boat came by in a boat. "The waters will soon be above your house. Hop in, and we'll take you to safety." "No thanks," replied the religious man. "I've prayed to God, and I'm sure God will save me." A little time later, a rescue service helicopter hovers overhead. "Let down a rope ladder. The waters will soon be above your house. Climb the ladder and we'll fly you to safety." "No thanks," replied the religious man. "I've prayed to God and I'm sure God will save me." All this time, the floodwaters continued to rise till soon they reached above the roof and the religious man drowned. When he arrived at heaven, he demanded an audience with God. Ushered into God's throne room, he said, "Lord, why am I here in heaven? I prayed for you to save me. I trusted you to save me from that flood." "Yes, you did, my child," replied the Lord. "And I sent you a canoe, a boat, and a helicopter, but you never got in." When you think about all the times in life where there's an opportunity to either join with a fellow brother and sister of God, or to try and go it alone and do it our own way, how many times has an opportunity passed us by? I'll share another quote, this one from Edward Teller. "When you come to the end of all the light you know, and it's time to step into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing that one of two things shall happen. Either you will be given something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly." Ready to fly? Let's go. I love that Old Testament piece there, the imagery of the seraph. Anyone kind of produce their own imagery in their own mind of what that creature looks like? Bless you. There's one thing with the six wings and how it moves and what that might look like if we were to see this creature. But there's something that's even more powerful, which I'm going to jump ahead to and just highlight what you already heard here from the prophet Isaiah. "Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" That imagery is rich, it's powerful. The seraph touched his lips, and at that moment, guilt departs from him. Sin departs from him. To me, that's probably two of the most powerful lines of that whole Old Testament reading. Because if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we all carry a fair amount of guilt with us. It's not our own fault. It comes to us by living in this world. Sometimes it's given to us by parents and others. But how do we deal with that? How do we get rid of that? How do we allow that, like this powerful metaphor there, where it departs completely? How do we enter into that relationship with God that removes that within us that is getting in the way with our relationship to God? Guilt is a challenge because it can be buried deep within us. I think for now, simply recognizing that there is more work for each of us to do around this is enough. Applying a little bit of spiritual attention to that place within us that still holds some of that. But notice how that happens in the process of the story that unfolds. That has to happen before the ability to say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm ready." Notice how guilt and sin depart. And then the question is asked, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And if any of us are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all waiting for a response to that answer. We are all participants in this process. To some degree, we're all saying, "Send me. Send me." The bigger challenge for most of us is simply recognizing when God is speaking to us and asking something of us. We need to be paying attention to the whispering of the Holy Spirit, paying attention to when that is moving in our lives. Only when we are less consumed by guilt does a sacred space open up in the heart of the sacred silence that is there within us. It can be filled up with a larger life. This is that sacred space opening up within us, able to respond to something deeper welling up within us that says, "Here I am. Send me. I'm ready. Here I am, Lord. Send me." That's a big challenge for anyone to say yes to that. But I guarantee you, your life will get filled in a richness that you cannot comprehend at this moment when everyone is able to do that to some degree. So let's move into the New Testament scripture today. Born from above. Nicodemus came to visit Jesus by night as a Pharisee, a religious authority of the Jewish people. Now, why did he come by night? Well, one explanation would be simply to keep this a low-key meeting. Nicodemus begins by sharing with Jesus how much he admires and respects what Jesus is doing in the world. Nicodemus also reveals he understands that Jesus is able to perform his miracles and teachings through his relationship to divinity. He says, "Apart from God, no one can do these things." So it's out of this natural curiosity that he seeks out Jesus. And one thing I love about that is I appreciate the honesty, the sincerity which Nicodemus approaches Jesus. It's a model for all of us, with sincere, open hearts to approach the holy. And the response is equally great. Jesus said, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, the analogy of the Holy Spirit moving among us like the wind, it is perfect. We can all relate to the substance that we can see through. We know it's there, but we only see it in the effects. We can see it blowing the trees. We can feel it on our senses, but it's invisible. We can't see air directly. Just like we need an elevated spiritual gaze to even attempt to enter into the sacred space of the holy, the spiritual dimension to life. Being born again is a metaphor for understanding there is a deeper force, more powerful force working at all times and in all ways in your life right now. It does take an elevated understanding, a gaze that we elevate and lift up in order to get a sense of what it is that is the spiritual dimension of life. So on this day, I want you to simply consider this. Consider people, individuals in your own life who have elevated you. And whether they're here in this dimension or not, that's all right. Because God connects all realms and all possibilities in all worlds. Hopefully this person made you feel special, cherished, lifted you up in some capacity. Many of those have been in a position to see the good in you and were able to do something about it. But they not only did that, they offered and extended a helping hand. They brought you onto higher ground. That is something worthy of remembering this weekend, worthy of sending them some attention right now as well. Another question surrounding this: what motivated this person to help you? What was it? And was it given freely, without guilt? So I invite you now to just simply hold a moment for that person, for that space, to fill up more of your spiritual interiors. It's a way to remember, to memorialize someone who has been there for you and elevated you, lifted you up, and did something that helped you. And if we could stay there for a little bit, we can carry that through the rest of the weekend, that would be great. But I'm going to close here with some things that possibly might get in the way of allowing that space within you to stay open. Whether it's guilt, whether it's other things, I'm going to give you some pieces here, some quotes. If you've been here before, you know I'm a big fan of Eckhart Tolle. He has a very concise piece here about all those things which are not really you, but we think, we get so invested in this that we think it's really us. So this is the quote. "The most common ego identifications have to do with possessions, the work you do, social status, recognition, knowledge and education, physical appearance, special abilities, relationships, personal and family history, belief systems, and often political, nationalistic, racial, religious, and other collective identifications. None of these is you." And I will add, at the deeper level. The Dalai Lama says, "All major religions, religious traditions carry basically the same message. That is love, compassion, and forgiveness. The important thing is that they should be part of our daily lives." And a Native American proverb, "The soul would have no rainbow if the eyes had no tears." And lastly, you've probably heard this one, but it's another good one. "Which animal inside us wins?" An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life, to which he says, "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on within you, inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." True faith is allowing God's love to constantly bend us towards good and truth, bending us further towards love, divine love, understanding the power of the Lord when we ask for the Lord's help. True faith is also accepting God's will completely as it is. To love yourself right now, just as you are, is to give yourself heaven. Don't wait until you die. If you wait, you die now. If you love, you live now. It's a quote from Alan Cohen. So may the Lord so help us all to live a life filled with divine love here and now. Amen.